Bev Courtney, thank you so much for joining us to talk about your candidacy. I'd like to start off with something pretty basic. If you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, could you share a brief bio about yourself?
Yes. I came here with my husband in 92, I think. So I've been here 26 years. My youngest son was born here. I have four kids, and two of them have graduated from NMSU here. And two of them are in medical school now, and all of them are working. So I'm kind of an empty nester. And I've been a firearms instructor, which is what kind of brought me into politics. Is, like it or not, I've ended up supporting the Second Amendment.
Second Amendment issues were kind of what drew you in.
Yeah, and I'm pro-life. I believe in the sanctity of life, and I believe that families make strong cultures.
Why are you running for the seat in your district?
Well, the people that share my values and my concerns, I want to be a voice for them. And we have this divide, and I want to, if you will, you know, I'm a mom, so I want to educate people why what we have in America is what we want to keep, you know, and be free and be prosperous. So in a nutshell, that's my mission.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about some issues. What do you feel are the most pressing issues in your district and in the state of New Mexico?
Well, people are concerned about the immigration, and I didn't put that on one of my platform planks, but talking to people in New Mexico and southern New Mexico, they're concerned. And, you know, it's either or, but I think that if we look at the issue in transparency and find the truth, that we can find solutions. You know, we want to help them as much as we can. We want to lift our neighbors up, right? Not tear them down. We don't want to tear down our own house.
So how do you feel, you know, you can make an impact on this issue? Because, I mean, immigration obviously is a federal issue, but how do you feel you can make a difference and an impact at the district level, at the state level?
What if I just found the truth? On both sides of the fence, there's, you know, I've been reading, say, for immigration, and there's a lot of misinformation, or let's call it biased information, and we can't find solutions if we don't have the facts. So what if we could just come to a consensus, say, here's the facts, and let's work from there?
Are there any other issues in your district that you feel people are dealing with or across New Mexico that you think are really pressing right now?
Well, we have high unemployment, really high unemployment. And so I'm, you know, for a free market. I'm for letting individuals and the people find the solutions and get the government interference out, get bureaucracy, red tape, too many rules and regs, too many fees, too much taxes. All of that hinders it, and I think that the results are we've got the highest unemployment. People need jobs. My kids had to leave, you know.
One of the things that deals with the economy in the state, I'm sure you remember 2 years ago, the price of oil and gas fell dramatically, making an impact at the state level, you know, impacting the industry and the revenue coming into the state. What are your thoughts on how the state relies on the oil and gas industry as a major revenue source? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Because they are our major revenue source at this time, we need to treat them well. I mean, my son has worked in that industry, and so I have, you know, I think that we should respect them. But it is volatile. So I don't know a lot about the oil and gas revenue issue. I have been reading. I've been trying to read. And so oil and gas affects the economies of the whole world, not just us, but every state, every nation. Our enemies, our allies are all dependent on oil. So I'm for what they call diversifying or finding other economic you know, viabilities, other economic possibilities.
Okay. One of the things that happened recently was New Mexico was ranked last in the country for child well-being. That was by the Annie Casey Foundation's 2018 Kids Count Data Book. What do you think policymakers, state representatives, should do to address child well-being in the state?
It's a cultural problem and a hard issue for the government to tackle. So I would do public campaigns to help people be proactive, to support families, you know, a mother and a father raising their children, the father, they take responsibility for them. So I am for early childhood development, okay, because that gives counselors and teachers an opportunity to also reach out to the parents. But what's not mentioned that I heard about is that it's all one entity that wants all the money. We have private enterprises that have great results, but the public education system wants the whole pie. So it's funding.
So what is your thoughts on early childhood education and how it can be addressed? Is there any changes right now that you think need to happen?
I think we should give those private entities a chance.
Let's talk a little bit more about education. Do you think the state is testing kids appropriately? Do you think there's too much focus on testing? And do you think too much pressure is on teachers to keep high evaluations? What are your thoughts on teacher evaluations and the way testing is going?
It's a type of legalism, isn't it? Because everybody has to be tested. If you want to pass the university level, they're going to test you to make sure that you have the knowledge that you just went to school to learn. So that makes sense. They can't overdo it, and I think they probably are overdoing it. I understand the problem is that the teachers suffer having the correct, not only too much testing, but they don't have the funds that they need for materials. And the administration is overpaid. Too much money in the administration, not enough money in the classroom. I think that needs to be fixed.
Do you have any other thoughts on education before we move on?
There are some simple fixes that we could do that don't really cost anything. Of course, armed security. I obviously am a self-defense instructor, and I believe that you should let teachers be armed if they have the attitude and the ability to do it, and that they would have more than a normal type of training. They would have really good training and plenty of it, which if you're talking about our children's safety, it's not that bad. The public school needs to deal with bullies. They need to punish wrongdoing. Simple fix. They changed it about 40 years ago, and it's been going downhill ever since. If you are a bully or if you steal somebody's stuff, you need to face the consequences instead of getting away with it. I've trained a lot of teachers for free, and they say that they don't do anything because it will cost them their jobs. And that's wrong. That's just wrongheaded.
I want to talk a little bit about healthcare now. There's nearly 1 million people in New Mexico who are on Medicaid, a lot of people. With possible changes to healthcare happening at the federal level, do you have any thoughts on what the state needs to do to prepare for any possible changes at the federal level, which could impact funding to New Mexico?
I will be honest with you. I think that there's definitely solutions. In my experience, growing up rather poor, they never turned anybody away already for health care. So just trying to make it fair and equitable would go a long way. I'm not against. I think this is America. We're a prosperous country. I do think that health care needs to be available. So I think you can hold hospitals accountable and medical industries more accountable, because they price gouge really bad. So that's just a small thing.
Do you think there's anything that you can do as a state representative to address this issue?
Well, I'll educate myself on it, and whoever I think has a good solution, that's what I will go for, you know.
One of the things in our area that is a challenge is getting behavioral health treatment, having a lack of providers in the area and resources have made it difficult for folks who may be dealing with behavioral health issues. Is there anything that you feel you can do to address this issue as a state representative?
Anthony, I think it's the money issue again, just like the public education system taking the whole slice of the pie. The same thing happens with these insurance providers and medical providers. They want the whole pie. They don't want to share. If you let anybody who's willing to be a counselor, and there's a lot of private individual counselors, because they come to me and they told me that they cannot get the federal funds because these other entities are bigger and they have lobbyists and they take all of the public funding. So it's like you have these people and they're after the money. They're not after the solutions. And then they put, you know, 150 patients with one therapist, and they can't do it all. That's too much load. But they're, you know, they're getting all the money and not meeting the needs. So the government is responsible for making sure everybody has access to fulfilling the role that they want to fulfill, because people have a calling for that.
Let's talk about public safety now. You had brought this up earlier in schools, but New Mexico has had challenges with violent crime and property crime in recent years. How do you feel the state can address this?
I think we should have a culture of respecting life. Not that many people will agree with me, but the thing is, if you say Albuquerque has the worst problem, and Albuquerque is known for being the abortion provider, a regional abortion provider up until practically birth, and that makes a culture of your life, it has no value. And that right there, I think, would be number one.
Do you think abortion is
promotes violence?
Okay.
It takes away the pieces. I have my convictions about it, because I think that life, that it is sacred, because if we don't, it only comes to the bottom dollar. It becomes a number on a government page. That's what your life becomes.
Do you have any of your thoughts on public safety and how New Mexico can address violent crime and also property crime, which is a big deal here in our area and your district?
Yes. I support our police. I'm kind of disappointed they're having this gun buyback program Saturday here in town. We have a new chief of police, and that's just some public relations stunt, because it doesn't really help anything. The police do their job, and they put their life on the lines. I believe it's the judges that let out these repeat criminals. Not only do they put the people on the street in danger, but they put police in the most danger, because the police have to arrest them again and again because they continue fighting. So people can be reformed, but that doesn't mean they need to be trusted out on the street again. So I think they need to pay the price for their crime.
Bev Courtney, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.